Welcome back into another seamless edition of Oh Brother, I'm Will Lockamy, along with Reed Lockamy. This is the show on Birmingham Mountain Radio. You can catch every Thursday from 7 to 9. Reed, our hourly sponsor this hour is Homewood Music, which is one of just the coolest shops anywhere, probably, but especially in our fair city.
I'm going to check this, because I want to get this right. When I was doing a little research earlier today, I've never known technically how to refer to the shop, but it is the Homewood Musical Instrument Company. Is that right?
I never use the word the.
You don't use the.
Homewood Musical Instrument Company.
Okay.
Or Homewood Music. It's a lot to say.
Homewood, I think, any way you say it, it sounds good to me. And people know about this place, too. I've always known about it because of your car that sits out front.
There are multiple, right?
Multiple cars?
Don't you have multiple old cars?
No, I only have the one.
I thought there was one that maybe sat there that didn't...
No, that car runs. That's
the, okay, gotcha.
That's the car. I get that. Ask that frequently. Does that car really run? And you just park it there.
Right.
But no, I've been driving that for about 20 years.
On the curb in Homewood. Now, not the famous curb in Homewood, curb in Homewood. What's the actual intersection
there? It's
the
corner of Oxmoor and Central.
Right.
Across the street from the Homewood City Park, next to Nabil's Restaurant.
Old car is.
Where the old car leaks oil.
Yeah, whenever I'm talking about Bob Tedrow, and that's, of course, our guest.
No, I was waiting for you to say it. Yeah, this is Bob Tedrow.
Bob Tedrow is our special guest tonight. We're going to have him for 45 minutes, and honestly, I could not be any more excited about it. A lot of fun things to do and talk about. But every time I'm talking about Bob Tedrow, I'll say, oh, you know, he's the guy that drives the Model T, but I bet I'm wrong. Is that
a Model T? You're wrong. It's a Model A.
Model A.
1928.
God, that was so much earlier than the T.
So it is a Ford Model A? Is that what that is?
That's the famous Ford Model A.
Okay.
That the Model T was in production for years and years, from like 1905 till 1927. Model A was considered to be the new Ford.
So yeah, that's backwards.
Well, they started over at the beginning of the alphabet.
Oh, okay.
With Model A. Then there was a Model B, and then they decided, nah, too much trouble.
And
then
and you drive that car kind of all over, right?
Every day.
Every single day. How do you keep a car like that running?
By driving it every day.
I know, but like, where do you get it worked on?
You know, I've replaced the head gasket and the water pump and the radiator and the transmission, but someone has to really repair a transmission for me. But we would have a large, fun time replacing the head gasket in the car. It's a guy thing. You could join us.
Yeah, Molly, you know all about this.
Muhammad Molly, our intern, is here, right. And she could, how do you start a car like that? Do you have to crank it?
Yes. Well, here you have to retard the spark.
Okay. Here we are making more people mad.
You have to pull the throttle down about two clicks.
Yes.
You have to turn on the gas. You have to adjust the choke if it's cold weather so it has a rich mixture.
Yeah.
You have to turn on the key. You have to pull out the choke. Then you have to mash the starter button on the floor.
Oh, a floor button, starter button on the floor.
There's a button on the floor.
This sounds as complicated as starting Oh Brother on Birmingham on radio. I would not be able to do this. It would take me at least 3 weeks.
Everybody did it. In the 20s, everybody started their cars that way.
It sounds much like a pre-flight checklist.
It is like flying a very low airplane you don't have far to crash.
But it's kind of how people know you. I mean, I'll say, oh, you know Homewood Music. And people say, no, I'm not sure. I'm like, you know, the old car in Homewood. Oh, yeah, of course.
That's not your primary mode. Is that your primary mode of transportation?
That's my own car. My wife has a car. My daughter has a car.
Can you drive that on the interstate?
Yeah. I used to drive it more on the interstate. It goes 65 miles an hour. People ask me frequently, they will ask, how fast will that car go? And I say, that car will go dangerously fast.
Yeah. Right. Literally.
As a matter of fact, if it's moving at all, it's going dangerously fast.
30 miles per hour in that car is probably
It likes to go 45 miles per hour. But really, it's old. I mean, it's 82 years old. So when you get up about 65 miles an hour on the highway, and you've got about 20 degrees of steering wheel to correct you.
How about this? Tires for that thing. Where do you get tires?
Coker Tire in Tennessee. About $100 a piece.
Wow, that's actually not too shabby.
They don't last very long either. They're not radials, believe it or not.
I forget how expensive tires are, but the other day I took my wife's car to get four new tires, and I opted for the used tires.
Pricey. Used tires.
Absolutely. I go somewhere. I haven't bought new tires in years and years. I can't say where. They don't spend money here, but I go somewhere, the same place every time, and get used tires. Yeah.
Is that a bumpy ride in the Model A?
Yeah, there are no shocks on it.
Yeah.
It just springs, so it's bumpy and noisy and loud and cold.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's fun to drive. It's like driving an antique. It's like really experiencing what
literally
drove in those days. Although 28 Ford was new in 1928, they didn't leak quite as bad as mine do. But it's fun. It's it's like just listening to music of it's an antique noise. It's an antique experience.
Mm-hmm. What did your kids think about that? Were they did they think it was super cool or were they embarrassed by
My daughter would hide. She did not want me to take her to Homewood Middle School. She would make me stop and let her out so she could continue on foot until her boyfriends decided that it was cool and then it was okay. Then she would let me do it. So because it's my car, it has in my family, it has no standing. They don't even want to drive it or ride in it or even look at it. I'm not allowed to park it in the garage.
That's funny. I had somebody doing some work in my house the other day, and he was in a Volvo station wagon, which I, as soon as he pulled up, I was like, oh, that's a really cool car. And he said, oh, I've got to leave a little bit early because I have to go change cars before I pick my kids up at school. That's because funny. They were embarrassed by the That's Volvo right. station wagon.
Like my station wagon used to be, that 240?
Newer than that, even. Just a little bit newer than that. Yeah, so.
All right, this is, I swear this will be the last question about the car, although it, I didn't anticipate what an interesting conversation that it would be. Have you ever had an accident in that car at all?
No. I'm a very, very safe driver. Yeah.
Knock on some wood.
Yeah.
I would feel very bad if I hit someone driving a car like that.
It would feel terrible.
Well, not only would people feel bad physically, but also you would just feel bad. It's like my wife and I recently had a minor fender bender with a girl who I've described as being about 10 months pregnant. And boy, you feel bad when that, even though it was her fault, you feel bad when that happens. I'd feel bad if I hit you in that car.
Well, modern cars can stop on a dime. Right. My car stops on a dollar and a half. So I have to drive slower than everyone else. I mean, I can drive and keep up with traffic just fine. Yeah. But I do apologize to the entire city of Homewood for driving slow in front of them. But
I'm sure nobody minds.
So I think people that drive old cars are safe because you're trying to control it all the time. You're constantly paying attention. There's no radio. There's no heater. There's no texting.
Are seatbelts in there?
No.
Nope. Sorry, no.
I'm grandfathered in. I don't there have to have seatbelts.
But people are waving at you constantly, right?
Yes, yeah. A lot of people want to roll down. A lot of people will drive right next to me and stare at the car and not look at where they're going. So,
right. Yeah. Okay, enough car talk. Okay, real quickly, Reed, we know Bob Tedrow because when you were a young man, and I was a younger man, we both went to a place in town to take lessons. I was going to take lessons, you were going to take guitar lessons, and Bob Tedrow had just moved to town. For like a 6-month period, you taught at this place, right?
Right. Back behind Fred at Instruments.
At Fred at Instruments.
There you go. Yeah. And so Reed took guitar lessons from Bob Tedrow. And of course, Reed went on to then later teach guitar lessons himself. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after you were there at Fretted, you moved over and started your own place. And so I don't know that I've been to Homewood Music in years, but I went the other day, and it is just one of the coolest places you'll ever see. Because you say, you know, we say 50 years behind the times and under old management. It really has that feel. You feel like you're walking into, you know, somewhere in Mayberry by the clothes you guys wear. And I say it's not really a gimmick, the clothes you guys wear. It just kind of feels natural, right?
Well, if we wear leather aprons because that keeps your clothes clean. We use a lot of tools and sharp objects and toxic paint and whatnot.
And there are all these amazing instruments hanging on the walls for sale. And they're making instruments in the other room. And you can watch that. You can see it. Literally, just think of them bringing big pieces of wood in and then making these incredible guitars.
Yeah,
and
I
want
to hear
banjos.
More about that. But also, I wanted to mention this before I forget. In the past, I have stopped into your shop, and two of the most distinct memories I have is at one point, and there may still be, there was a hammer dulcimer, which you don't see every day.
Explain that what that is.
Yeah, the hammer dulcimer is a large instrument. There are two types of dulcimers, right? There's Appalachian dulcimer and then a hammer
dulcimer. Okay. Right.
And it's, you use these little wooden, like,
hammers.
Some sticky hammers, yeah, but they're
Hence
not
the
hammers.
Name.
Yeah. And you hit the little instruments, it goes, and it plays the deliverance song. And it plays the deliverance song. And also, you had a steel drum at one point. I remember that.
Gosh, we've had everything in there one time or another. We've had steel drums, balalaikas, sitars.
Really?
Right.
Can you play a sitar?
No. Barely even Indians can play the sitar.
Takes a lifetime, is
it
what
does.
They say.
It takes to develop competence.
Or a couple of lifetimes.
Right. So what all instruments do you guys make there at the shop?
Well, we build two instruments. We build replicas of Victorian-era concertinas. That's what I build, which is a small squeeze box.
The layman, it looks like a little, you would say, if you had no idea, you'd say, oh, that's an accordion. But
without
it's not.
Any keys. There's no keyboard. Buttons instead
of it predates the accordion. It's the same technology as an accordion, but it predates it by about 70 years. So it's early 1800s. And it's used in traditional music of the British Isles, related to the Cajun accordion. And Mr. Burns, my associate, builds replicas of 19th century banjos during the height of the classical banjo craze. In 1870, classical banjo was quite a popular instrument, predating bluegrass by 50 years. And he built replicas of those, and both he and I have instruments in countries all over the world, all over the United States.
So you are building these, and then so there's a market for these types of custom-built instruments.
Right.
But these are pretty pricey.